My name is Foster Brown, the co-host of WJR's Internet Advisor, and welcome to the first hour of our podcast recorded on August 28, 2010. Welcome, and another very good evening to you. Hi, this is Foster Brown, along with Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson. We have the full house tonight for this, our last show of the summer series.
That's right. We'll be off next week. Mm-hmm. We'll be on the 11th of September. We're going to be moved to 7 to 9.
I like that shift.
And yeah. Well, it'll be after the
I could do more yard
games.
Work.
Yeah. Oh yes, I'm sure your wife likes that too. And then the 18th will be off again as well, and we don't know what it will be.
So the moral of the story is, as you may have heard Dean Crosscroft talking about it last week, is just pay attention to our homepage. And now we have a number of other tools that you can use to find out when we're going to be on the air, and that you can listen to us live, or simply go to our program afterwards and listen to the podcast. But if you visit internetadvisor.net, that's one way. We'll always have the information there. Or you can go to our Facebook page. That's right. The Internet Advisor is on Facebook. And if you're adventuresome and Twitter, you can also check out and you can sign up for our Twitter account as well. Both of those can be done from our homepage at internetadvisor.net. So guys, before we get into a whole host of guests we've got coming up in just a few moments, let's talk a little bit about some of the items that are red hot news that it's out there right now. Cal, let's start with you.
Well, you know, there's always something new in technology coming out. Every time you turn around, there's something new out there. And I'd like to be at the end of that chute as they toss the stuff out so I can be able to play with it. So I'm still working on that. I'm going to get that going sooner or later. But it looks like Amazon's putting out a new Kindle. And this Kindle has, are you ready for it? Gee, I wonder where they got this idea from. 3G wireless built right into it.
Great idea.
Good idea.
Evidently
they should have thought of it.
Yeah, it must have been inspired by somebody. I don't know. But it'll be coming out in September, and it's going to go for $189. And people who enjoy
price reading, point is really good on that. Yeah. Is it the same size? Is it smaller? Same?
Pretty much the same form factor from the commercials that I've seen on TV. I saw a couple of them the other day, matter of fact.
Now, who's the carrier if it's 3G?
Good question, because I didn't see the information on that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's 3G and what the subscription is, because, you know, with an iPhone, you're locked in right now for a little while.
There are different data levels, though.
Yeah, you know, the interesting part is, why 3G if you don't have other things? If it's just the normal Kindle, if it's just about ebooks, right? If that's all it is, are you going to download an ebook on 3G network? Probably not. So what else is there? And that will be the
color?
Interesting thing to watch.
Well, from what I saw on TV, there was not color. It was the same
same black and white.
Black and white looking color.
But you try to do that over Wi-Fi if you could, because it'll be a lot faster.
Yeah. And which is the electronic ink is just so easy to read. I mean, it's amazing. Even in bright on the beach. I was just amazed.
Oh, yeah, here's an interesting thing. Includes free 3G wireless, no monthly payments, and no annual contracts. Download books anywhere, anytime.
Really? Ooh. Interesting.
Now, wait a minute. Who, besides AT&T, who carries 3G? Doesn't Sprint as well?
Sprint's at the 4G now.
Yeah, they're up
to 4G.
New,
okay. They're new, only in select markets, right?
Okay.
Interesting.
Very interesting
we'll see.
To follow.
Obviously, Verizon would be the other one, so maybe any of them that you want.
That's true.
Because you're really not using it for, if it's only about ebooks, if it's only downloading ebooks, then it, you know,
how much traffic could there actually be?
How much
be,
could
right?
it be?
And until it's hacked. Then you can use it. Could you imagine sticking a brick next to your hair and trying to talk, you know, a book?
but then, so you might be getting into how interruptible can it be? Yeah. Right, if you're just downloading and you're not reading in real time, can they fill in the rest of the bandwidth in any particular location with downloading ebooks? And maybe that's why it's free.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a great
who
point.
Who knows? We ought to check that out. So it isn't out. Won't be out for another month or month and a half or so.
Somewhere in order now for a mid-September delivery.
So a few weeks.
Maybe
that's
we should
good.
Get
and the
them
price point's better. That's almost feasible because my daughter's always wanted an ebook, and I'm like, not for $400.
You're right, and the price point is the significant. Really key point here. Eddie, you had an item too. Matter of fact, we posted it on our homepage.
Yeah, 10 things that the internet has killed or ruined. And I was looking at this, and it's so true. And the most obvious is number one, which is encyclopedias.
Trust in encyclopedias. You know, Wikipedia, everybody says, oh, well, you know, that must be true when, in fact, and we know many, many examples where information, because it's posted by users, right? And people post all sorts of things.
Now, that's,
I wasn't specifically talking about Wikipedia. I mean, you can get encyclopedias
in the article
online.
It does, right?
Right. But as overall, I mean, when's the last time I remember growing up and every family household had an encyclopedia?
World Book or.
We'd have the guys come door to door trying to sell
selling those things.
And they look so good on the shelf in the den, man. You go, like, wow, look at
but
all
now,
these
here's
books.
A key thing. Those things were carefully researched and edited. And, you know, they would give you a list of experts they had referred to.
Right.
What's happened now is that the trust has been shifted to things like Wikipedia, which are wide open.
Or, you know, Microsoft's encyclopedia that they offered. Encyclopedia.
Well, and now there are different versions of the facts, right? I mean, facts change all the time. Everybody thinks beliefs change. Beliefs stay relatively the same. It's facts that change all the time. So now you have different encyclopedias that are out there that, you know, that actually represent things very different. The textbooks in Texas, big arguments over the last few months about how they're going to change the facts in those textbooks.
Sure, right? 1492 when Columbus sailed to Ocean Green.
Well, you know, I mean, it's really tough for folks in Texas because, you know, at some point they're going to have to admit to their kids that Texas isn't the largest state in the union. Right, you know, that's been pretty tough. They've always that's what they've always told their kids. That was the last line. Scott's asleep at the switch. So, anyway.
Well, anyways, number two,
you got the crickets out for that one.
Okay, so
that's another one.
Let me just go barroom arguments. I mean, how many times you spent hours sipping on a beer and arguing with your friends about who won the World Series in 1936? Now you can pull out your smartphone and look it up. Right?
Can you imagine what Cheers would be like now if they redid the show? There's Cliff and Norm there with their PDAs going back and. Well, Cliffy boy.
Well, another thing, listening to albums.
Now, your son Talon, who was in the studio here, this is kind of interesting. Talon, punch a button in there. How do you feel about it? You're the young person now. How old are you?
I am 15.
15. Do you listen
and
to
albums?
Star. And a
rock star. He's a rock star. He played last weekend.
Right. Yes, I did play at Lapeer Days for School of Rock.
So, do you listen to albums?
Yeah, I think that listening to albums is better than listening to one song, because you get the entire experience.
Yeah, but he's a freak. He's like his mom.
That's his dad speaking.
I mean, how many people like listening to the whole album?
Are you like Santa?
Tell
him
how many of your friends would listen to the whole album, do you think?
Not many. It's just like me and a couple other people I know.
Now, if Lauren were here, she makes her own albums, right? She'll download this song or that song. She'll buy one from
she compiles
iTunes,
them.
And she'll do this and that. And she
those are compilations, though. Those aren't albums. See, albums, and I'll tell you what Talon is saying, because I'm the same way as he is. An album is a collection of songs that are together as a story or an expression that the artist is doing. Compilations are just a bunch of artists all grouped together in one big hunk of
Then I would wonder how albums have been changed by the internet.
Right.
Because the internet now is that single bite of sound, generally speaking, rather than albums. Hey, listen, guys, we've run out of time for our news, and there's so much more news to go into here. Eddie, we can those folks who would like to can look at that whole article on the 10 things the internet has killed or ruined and the 5 things it hasn't. Very interesting from PC World. If you go to our internetadvisor.net homepage, you can click on that and then click through to that news item. We'll be back in just a moment with a couple of guys from Jackson who have made quite an impact on the internet with their very own podcast. It's the iPad program. Back to talk with them in just a moment. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Rocking down the electronic highway, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in-house today. And we're delighted to welcome a couple of guys to our program who have become local, I don't know what you call them, internet heroes or celebrities.
Online broadcasters.
That's right, online broadcasters. And but they created it online themselves. This wasn't something that started, you know, in another realm and then came online, but it actually was born and bred right on the digital world, and that's Steve Bostador is with us, along with Dave Buchanan. They form the team that has a program called the iPad Show. Gentlemen, welcome to WJR. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having us on.
And, and Steve, in particular, it's good to have you back on.
Yeah. I know, everything's kind of coming full circle.
Hasn't it? Just talk just a second about, when was the first time you were here with us on the Internet Advisor?
I think it was the summer of 2003. I was filling in while all of you guys are probably out on vacation having a lot of fun. And me and Tom Dyroff were sitting in the studio on your guys' behalf for a little while.
You know, Tom was on with Foster and I. It was like old home week. He was on last week, and we were talking a little bit about it. And you're right. Foster and I both had that week off.
Yeah.
And we said, Tom, can you handle it? And he kind of looked at us and went, but of course, right? So, and obviously did a great job, pulled you in. So thank you for doing that and being on with us today. Tell us how this iPad show got started.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, I think it all started on Twitter.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
In 140 characters. So tell me, how did that happen?
Well, I was on Twitter and Steve was on Twitter. This is Dave. And we were kind of just talking about technology and local things. And the iPhone had just come out and we were like, wow, there's really a missing spot online for technology news coverage and podcasts about the iPhone and iPad eventually. Mm-hmm. But we just got together and started doing some shows.
Now, you do this from an upstairs bedroom.
Yeah, but we call it Studio B.
Studio B. But this is not cheap. I mean, you spent a bit of money to put this, put Studio B together.
Yeah, right. We kind of slowly, we started out with just a microphone and a computer and have kind of evolved from there. My wife does voiceover work, so that kind of helped.
So she had, so she kind of knew her way around that part of it. Did she encourage you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so she helped quite a bit, but I've learned through recording and being in bands over time. I'd done a bunch of stuff like that, and we just decided to do video and go all out and make a whole studio and lights and the whole deal.
Oh wow! So now this happens. Is it every Sunday? Am I right? Do you tape this?
Yeah, just about every Sunday, unless we have something important like a nice day of sunshine in Michigan.
So,
or there's a ball game going, right?
Are we simulcast? Are people able to dial into your site? I don't see that on your site, but
there's a live link on there. So when you're online viewing our site, iPadShow.com, you can just hit the live button and watch us do the recording live 3:30 on Sundays.
3:30 on Sunday afternoons. Okay. Now, by the way, we should mention for you folks out there that we've, for your convenience, given you some links to get there. And in the show notes, if you simply click on The iPad Show, it will take you to their website, and you can find out a whole lot more about what the program's about and some of the things they do. This is Dave Buchanan and Steve Bostador, who are on the air with us right now.
You know, I watched a couple of the podcasts, and you guys do what we should have done all along, which is you make no bones about just saying, hey, come on in. We're two guys on a couch. And you really have a good time. And not you don't worry about making mistakes. I remember 13 years ago when we started, I was so, I was so concerned about making a mistake. Foster said, don't worry, you're going to make a lot of them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys just take that to the next level, don't you?
Yeah, and I guess that's where doing this over the internet comes in handy, because it is so inexpensive to get started doing it on the radio or on the internet. You know, with the radio, you have a whole big production behind you, so you really do have to be accurate and professional. And when you have a small time studio, it there's not as much pressure to squeeze out every second of every moment on the air.
Now, how long are your programs, generally speaking?
We generally go for about an hour.
About an hour, okay.
And that really is the charm, though, because you don't have to, and you don't even pretend to try to be real professional. Come on in.
Right.
We're going to talk to you. We're going to have some fun. We're going to, maybe you'll learn something. We'll definitely entertain you. And that's kind of the way you approach it, right?
Right, yeah. We go for the entertainment side more than the professional.
So, all right, now, fun's fun, but this you've had to invest some money, as Gary hinted before, in this right now. You got to this point. And this is a question that everybody who has a dream, of, I want to put my show on the internet. When do you start making some money back on this thing?
And does your wife ask that question?
I'm sure Dave does.
Yeah, we haven't gotten too much money yet, but the deals are in place, and hopefully sometime we'll actually see the money come through. But it's the internet, so people do a lot of crazy stuff.
Okay. Well, here, now, how is your... I'm sorry, Cal, go ahead.
Well, it's not a problem that day. Just a question about some of the technology that you're using. Are you shooting this in high definition, or are you just using standard definition for cameras?
We have high definition cameras, but the mixer is only standard definition right now because high definition costs almost as much as our house.
Are you considering going in the direction of maybe creating some different channels and that sort of thing, where I can tune in one time and I see a couple of tech guys. I tune in another time. There's two guys with toques and beers having cold ones with the back bacon burner.
It's the same two guys.
We just put wigs on. But, yeah, we're kind of doing that a little bit. We have our iPad show. We also do an iPhone app show every once in a while. But we also have just started a little while ago two shows about Android phones. Because we've been getting a lot of comments about Android phones and that kind of stuff. So as technology kind of becomes a little more popular and people have questions, we kind of want to try and cover some more of those things.
See, Foss, I bet they do the same thing we do, which is we justify to our spouses, oh, I got to get this latest gadget because yeah. I got to review it for the show. Right?
Well, until I was sidelined last year, I could do that when I was self-employed. I can't do that anymore in our very fixed income. I'm just curious, guys, how have you built up? Well, for instance, what is your viewership right now? Do you have any idea? And how has that grown?
Well, we have about 150,000 that listen each week that go to our website and download the podcast. So we have quite a few regular listeners, and a lot of those people come from iTunes or just from viewing our website. Mm-hmm. So it's really word of mouth that we try and kind of get the show out there.
What's that feel like for you guys to be, 150,000 people are, tuning into your stuff everywhere? What's that like?
It really hasn't hit me yet.
you don't feel it when you're sitting in a studio, kind of that's a bedroom.
Yeah,
right?
Studio B isn't crowded, eh?
Yeah, and Jackson isn't known as the technology mecca, so we walk around and nobody really knows.
Nobody stopped you on the street for autographs.
We know who you are.
Right.
Yeah, but then when we go to a conference or even if we go to the Apple store, everybody looks at us and they know who we are, and it's kind of awkward, but very interesting.
Yeah, when you ask them questions, you go, well, why ask us? You're supposed to know, right?
No, I'm just curious. Apple is known for being pretty secretive and not handing out stuff and saying, here, try this out for us. How are they related to you?
Well, we have a couple friends who work at the Apple stores and stuff that we talk to sometimes, but Apple hasn't really called us or given us any information yet.
No stock options, anything like that?
No. I don't think Apple does that to anybody anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. The calls from Apple, unfortunately, are often the cease and desist kind of calls. You don't want those kind of things happening at all on you.
Not usually.
So what are some of the fun things that you're looking ahead for on the iPad show, for instance?
I know.
What are some of the things that you're looking forward to covering on the iPad show?
So next topics, we're looking for a scoop here.
I think that the next show we're going to talk about shopping applications. We like to keep with a theme with every show, and so this show we're going to do the shopping ads. The show after that, I think we're going to jump back to school because it's kind of seasonal.
Yep.
So we like to cover all the things because there's going to be a lot of iPads in hands of students this year, and it's going to change a lot of things for learning.
What's interesting is that you guys have entered into this and are covering it at precisely the time, and I think you're right, this fall will be, I think, a key moment for the iPad and that whole form factor when kids come to school with it and how they use it in their classrooms and things like that. So, you're going to have a lot to work with, but I think it's also a great moment for you guys to be around or riding the crest of that wave.
You guys were mentioning the Kindle earlier in the show, and this is kind of like a souped-up color version of the Kindle, where students will be able to get it for all their books, but they'll also be able to follow up on news and share photos and connect with their family on different social networks and all that kind of stuff, just from one device that they can always keep in their backpack.
Well, guys, our best wishes to you on this. Keep on going, and Steve, someday we'll say, we knew you when. You were back here helping us out. Steve Bostendorf and Dave Buchanan, they are the hosts of the iPad Show, and that's very simple to remember, iPadShow.com. You can also get the link off of our InternetAdvisor.net site. Guys, the best to you, and thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, take care. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, a young man in the studio with us is a young high school student who's got a tremendous website that he's put together dedicated to helping you help other people. So glad you decided to join us on this beautiful summer evening. It's the beginning of the evening, at least. Here, my name's Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio. And just a reminder for you, coming up in about 10-15 minutes, we're going to be talking with a gentleman who's going to be very important for our program, Phil Biondo. He's with a company that is going to be our sponsor starting very soon. They'll be sponsoring the Internet Advisor. It's called CompuQuest, Inc., and we'll be talking with him about that coming up shortly. But right now, Gary, you have somebody to introduce in studio who has got an absolutely fascinating website that he's developed.
That's right. It's actually called youchooseone.org, and the founder is Damian McLaughlin. Damian, welcome to the Internet Advisor Show.
Hey.
Hey, you know, this is your... Now, it says on the website that you're a junior at Pioneer. You're going to be a senior in a few days. Go back to school. I mean, this is a great site. How did you come up with the idea of youchooseone.org? I mean...
And what's the purpose of it? What are you trying to do with it?
Well, I originally had the idea about 5 years ago when I lived in Kentucky. I was on Amazon, and I was looking at books like Catcher in the Rye to buy. And I was reading the profile, and I thought it'd be cool if you could do something like Amazon or Netflix with a charity website. And about a year ago, I actually wanted to get the website up and running, where you can go to the website and you can choose exactly who you want to give to.
Now, when you say that, by the way, I imagined first when I heard about this that it'll be like you could give to the Red Cross or United Fund or something else like that. This is far more personal.
Yeah, it's... The people on the website, it's their story, the person in need, the story of who you can give to, the different people.
I'll give you an example. Like a mother of two, now four mother, helps homeless kids, but now needs help herself. Then you have a $400 is what's needed, and then you show how much has been raised. And if a person wants to make a donation, they would click the button then and go to that person and make the donation to them?
Well, you have to make an account with the website.
Okay.
So you can go on, you can make an account, and you can see their story, and then it's PayPal, and you can give with a credit card on the website.
Okay.
And because it's personal, you have to go out and find these people, right? How do you do that?
Well, we work with a different number of charity organizations within Washtenaw County. One's the Hope Center, another's called Friends Indeed, and other churches. And they connect us with these people in need. And another thing that's cool about it is they screen these people to make sure that they're authentic and their needs are real.
I was going to ask you about that.
You don't have to do that yourself. They do that for you.
We work
with
these.
Them.
Yep.
Oh, that is
sweet. And then people then can trust you at youchooseone.org. And that's what it's all about. They get to choose somebody that they specifically want to donate. They can read the story and say, I want to help that person. This, you know, the one case that that Foster talked about, mother of two, she took in two more. Now she needs some help. People want to donate to her, they can. She only needs 400. There's a specific reason for that. You put her story or that part of the story up online, and then they can donate directly to her, right?
Yep. Well, the website, it's different than most charities that I've encountered, where you give $100 and you don't know where it goes.
Right.
But with You Choose One, you can feel confident that who you're giving to is, you know, the person that you want to. You can sort through different profiles and see that, oh, this person has so-and-so medical issue. I want to give to them.
Right. And it's 100% of their gift goes to that person for that purpose.
We're a 501c3, so 100% of your donation, if you want to donate $20 to this person, all of it will go to that.
Doesn't go through Damian. The money goes to this person directly, right?
Well, we actually have an account. So with the credit card, we receive the money, and we'll write the check to the sponsor organizations that we work with.
Yeah, what I mean by that is there's no Damian overhead.
No, absolutely.
And that's a really key point, because with giving organizations, perhaps, you know, regardless of who they are, they've got a secretarial staff. And
they've got to support their operation. And Damian does this basically free.
That is what's so sweet.
As part of giving back.
The $100 that goes to the mother of two, eventually gets to the mother or two, not minus $10 for overhead fees or what.
Well, now I got one heck of a question then. Damian, how old are you?
I'm 17.
And because you're not making anything off this site, as a 17-year-old guy who's normally out hanging out with the rest of the kids and killing time and having a good time, stuff like that, what inspired you to go ahead and do something like this?
Well, I've always wanted to give back to the community. And I do other stuff like homework and soccer, and I'm busy. But this is a good idea, and I had it, and I thought, why not just go ahead through with it and help people? And I go, you know, work with churches and stuff.
Yep.
And
yeah, It's incredible.
Yeah. How, you know, other kids are out there. They're listening, or their parents are listening to us right now. And maybe they had some idea like you did. This came from you. It was internal that you wanted to do this. Other people are saying, you know, I could develop a website like this, but they don't really know how to go about it. They don't know who to give it to or who to work with or, you know, who really needs one. There are ways for kids like you to be involved. Maybe not as creative as you. Yeah. Maybe they want to do something else, but they can get involved, right?
Of course. How would they do that? Well, you can start. You can talk to different churches or different charity organizations that you know mm-hmm. around your community. And there's teachers and stuff. I mean, there's different ways you can get involved with different charity organizations.
Because I know that there are kids that know how to develop websites. They just need they need a purpose for doing it,
yeah.
right? They,
yeah.
At some point, they probably can't get to the point where they can go out and sell them to too many people, but they certainly could help the charities. They could give like
Of course. If you have any ideas, I'd recommend that you at least try it. What's the worst that can happen?
And what we'd like to do is make sure that people listening to us know that from our website, you can get to youchooseone.org.
If you go to our program notes right now, where it says Damian McLaughlin, matter of fact, if you click on that, there's a really neat story in the Ann Arbor News that you'll get to that talks about the whole project. But if you click on the youchooseone.org, it'll go right to that site, and it's wonderful.
They can choose one.
It is... it's a remarkably well-designed site. Who helped you with that? Is this your design as well?
Yeah, well, it was my idea, but I've definitely had help. I have friends who go to my high school and around that helped me. One is Brandon Peterson. He goes to Dexter High School. And another is Sean Purcell. I also have people that help me with the website technological aspects, Jeff McCrum and Eric Sweetland. And my dad's helped me with the finances. I'm only 17, so I'm not an expert in that area.
So somebody had to set up the 501c3. That's quite a bit of work just to getting that done, right?
Exactly. And then Wayne Peterson is a founding board member.
So they all bought into your vision of how to help, and they're helping you help others.
That's really amazing. You know, your dad ought to be very proud of the fact that to have a young man like that who was aggressive, got out there and actually made something happen that's doing a lot to bring value and wealth to the community. And that's something we definitely admire.
You know, one of the other things I want to compliment you on, too, and I understand the title even better. You Choose One. It's not one organization.
It's one person.
One person.
Indeed.
And that is, to me, that is the genius of this. Father of five kids in Habitat for Humanity Home, but need urgent help. And there's a $1,200 limit there from Ypsilanti. Another one is a single mother with mentally challenged daughter, needs car repair, $200. They've raised $130 so far.
So there's a family. Not only do you get to
see that one individual, but you also get to see how they're being impacted.
It's the stories that draw you in, and the poignant stories that you feel like you want to help these people, and whatever story you feel like, oh, that really draws my interest, or I really want to give to that person.
In real time, they show that, you know, in one case, they wanted $400 for a specific need, a family with two,
mm-hmm.
and it's fully funded. They say, thank you. The next one is a single father of five, specific reason again, they need $250. They've raised $169. So if you want to finish that, helping that person, you just pay the difference.
It's important.
They know that in real time.
In order to be able to either read these stories or to make donations, you need to create accounts, right?
Exactly. We have a privacy policy,
so
you can't see the names of the people in need, and the pictures aren't their real pictures, but you can see the story.
Excellent.
That's genius. Yeah, for their privacy.
Well, I tell you, my young man, this is really incredibly well put together, and boy, you have just, I think, hit something that's wonderful here, and my hat's off to you, Damian, and to your family as well for supporting you for this. I'm so delighted, Gary, that you made us aware of this, and we can make other people aware of it. YouChooseOne.org is the name of the organization, and Damian McLaughlin, thank you so much for what you've done here.
And if I could just say, if you... are a charity organization, or if you know someone who is a person in need who would fit the website and be a good candidate, just let us know. You can contact us through the website, youchooseone.org. If you're a church and you feel like you right. have people that would be
boy nowadays in particular website. there's so much need out there, and this is a wonderful way of helping individuals get that help. Thank you again, Damian,
yep.
for what you've done. A
thank
wonderful
you very much.
Job here, and congratulations
yeah.
on
Damian
that.
Damian McLaughlin and youchooseone.org.
We'll be back in just a moment to meet somebody who is going to be a very important member of our broadcast family here in just a little bit on the Internet Advisor. Don't forget to visit our website, internetadvisor.net, because coming up in these next few months as the football season and then the basketball season comes on us, since WJR is the voice of sports for MSU, you're going to find our program shifts around quite a bit and is often preempted, as in next week and some other weeks in the months of September. But you'll be able to find out when we're on the air by going to internetadvisor.net, and we'll have the information there, or check us out on Facebook or on Twitter as well. Well, there's a company that you're going to be hearing a lot about here on the Internet Advisor as we continue on through the fall. That's a company called CompuQuest, Inc. And the gentleman who is with me on the line right now is Phil Biondo, who's part of the ownership of that company, and they are going to be supporting the Internet Advisor show as one of our key sponsors in this upcoming season. And Phil, we want to welcome you to WJR.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, tell us what is unique and different about your company, CompuQuest, Inc.
Well, our company is family-owned. I have my wife, Maria, who runs the office, and my partner, Mimo, who handles the technical portion of it, but we're all family. I have my cousin Peter, and we hired Shane and Paul, and then I have Michael in sales. But what we are is like a family environment. We're a mom-and-pop computer shop in Sterling Heights, and we had this great following of referrals of customers coming to us to help them with their computers. And, you know, our passion shows in what we do for our customers and helping them educate them on the machines, on what to buy, mm-hmm. You know, what kind of issue they're having, and just being totally honest and transparent about the problems that they're having with their computer.
You know,
and that usually makes a big difference in why we've been such a success in
yeah.
our area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of people from time to time. We can help them here on the air directly, and that's great. We'd love to do that. But there are times when we just know that the best thing to do is take this to somebody that you know and trust and have them help you, because we... you know, we can't do it for them, obviously, here virtually. So it's great to have a firm like yours where people can go in, they can talk directly to somebody who is part of the ownership of the company that is really going to give them a little bit of extra hand-holding, help them through their problem, and help them get it fixed and back on online.
Yeah, it's... You know, we do it every day. We see hundreds of customers a month, and it's just our passion since, you know, we've been in business 12
yeah.
years.
Now, Phil, so for these last 12 years, you started out helping businesses and then expanded out that it's not just businesses, but you go into regular, like, our listeners' homes and
yeah.
help them out.
Yeah. Well, we do. We go to home offices. We go to homes. I mean, it's just, we have large businesses that we do. I mean, we cater to everybody. We work on all kinds of brands, all the major brands that we work on, and even Mac we work on a lot too now because it's become an ever-growing popular product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's starting
to. We're seeing
to,
it a lot.
Yeah, there's some of us in here who would agree with you wholeheartedly because we have our Mac users and we have our PC users. But Phil, one of the things, now, you've got your store in Sterling Heights. Okay, there's a lot of people listening to us from all over Southeast Michigan, down into Ohio, lots of different places. Obviously, not everybody's going to be able to get to that Sterling Heights store. Where do you serve? What's your service area? Where somebody, you know, who's listening right now, if you're listening down in the Irish Hills, could you have somebody help them?
I mean, we don't go too far out because it just doesn't make any sense. Because
right.
the thing is that we run a very transparent and honest business, and meaning that if I have to drive down to the Ohio border, you know, we're charging a lot of money. It just doesn't make any sense. So in that case, when people call us and say, "Hey, you know, I'm in you know, Ohio, or mm-hmm. I'm on the border of like Woodhaven," and what we do typically is I'll go out and actually physically find someone for that customer that we would put our trust into it.
Excellent.
So I do a little research for our customers if they're too far, but if
wow.
they're close enough, or I can do a lot from the office. We can do remote service calls too. We can remote in and work on the machines versus having to get in the car. Usually, that's the last resort. If we just can't fix it, then we'll go out.
Yeah, Cal?
So, Phil, for some of our people who either do home offices or some of our business owners that are listening to the show, the folks that you have that come out and service them, are they Apple certified? Are they Microsoft certified? Could you tell a little bit about your credentials that you offer?
Yeah, all of our techs have the Toshiba HP authorization, A-plus authorizations. A lot of the authorizations that we have are from the manufacturer. That allows us to get the service manuals. It allows us to get everything that we need to properly repair. Also gives us information on if there's like a service alert or a service bulletin about a notebook. So what happens is if there's a string of notebooks coming into our office, we already know about it. We already have the fix versus spending hours troubleshooting it with the manufacturer. But, yeah, we do have Microsoft certs. We are Microsoft authorized. So everybody that's in our company has got experience and they've been around the block when it comes to a computer problem. So more than likely, we've already seen the problem or heard of it. And we've got a patch for it.
Well, Phil, we link to your site from our site to CompuQuest Inc. But under the contact tab, I notice the whole long, long list of Metro Detroit cities that you serve. So
yes.
If people are unsure whether you would go to Gibraltar or East Point or down to or to Walled Lake or Waterford, you can look right on your site and see those cities. Also, I noticed that you offer some things that that people have from time to time have asked us about, which is computer recycling, what to do with their old computer. You'd help them with that because you can't just throw a computer into a landfill these days, right?
Please don't.
So that, and then the computer tune-up package I thought was great. You know, if your computer's running slowly, those are great services.
Yeah, a lot of everything that we do is we try to keep it under our roof. You know, people bring their computers into our office and say, well, it's not worth fixing anymore, just throw it away. And no, it's got to be properly done.
Right.
So recycling just became a natural extension of our company.
Excellent, excellent. You know? Phil, you guys are doing a great job. I know we're going to hear much more about it. Matter of fact, we want to make sure that we keep in touch with you guys and have some, matter of fact, if possible, maybe some of your tech guys come on with us at some point in the future and help to answer some questions for our listeners as well. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I'm more than happy to do that.
Listen, folks, this name CompuQuest Inc. is one you're going to hear quite often here as they're sponsoring WJR. And Phil, thank you for that. We'll be hearing much more about that from you guys and hearing more about your services as well. Take care of yourself and have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
All right, folks, stay tuned. Coming back after Gene Fogel and the news at the top of the hour, we're going to be here to answer your questions at 1-800-859-0WJR. You've just been listening to the first hour of our Internet Advisor program from August 28, 2010. Please return to our homepage to listen to Hour 2, during which we answer listeners' questions. If you have questions about your computer at any time, remember that our forums are open 24/7. To access our forum, simply go to our homepage and click on the forum. You'll fill out a short registration and get right down to putting your questions in and getting some answers.